Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. What is your legacy? What will remain after you? The readings today from Ecclesiastes and Luke's Gospel suggest that our most strenuous efforts go into projects that will either evaporate after our deaths or benefit the unworthy. The wisest advice that I ever received on being a pastor was from an older and much experienced pastor. He told me not to put my trust and hope in structures or programs, no matter how good or successful they might be. The world can change, it will be made useless, or a new pastor can come with a different vision and they can be dismantled. Rather, he said, put my time, trust, and effort into what brings the presence of Jesus into the world. I have observed that the skills and talents I developed in the 80s were not particularly effective in the 90s. And I have been replaced with people who reversed what I thought my proudest achievements. Today we have our annual mission talk. It is an opportunity for us to support the faith of people in mission lands. Truly, the presence of Jesus. This is permanent and lasting, and not a passing vanity. It is an opportunity for us to share what we have and be rich in what matters to God. Our speaker today is Zach Davis. He is an editor at America Magazine, the leading publication of the Jesuits in the United States. Although he is not a Jesuit, he is also co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Jesuitical, which is also not by Jesuits, but with people who work with Jesuits, on the whole, millennials speaking to millennials. Not only with what has gone on in the church for the week and theological developments, but also the best reviews of microbrews I have ever heard. He can also tell you where to get them. So, no further, Zach Davis. Thank you.
here to talk about micro groups today, but come back next week. As Father said, my name is Zach. I want to thank all of you, thank Father Bill, for welcoming me into your parish this morning. Signed up to do these talks a few times, and I don't always know where I'm going to get placed. And so I was very excited to be assigned to Brooklyn because I'm a parishioner at St. Boniface in downtown Brooklyn. So it is good to be among neighbors this morning. I also want to thank Jesus, who is seemingly setting me up in today's gospel. He's talking about the dangers of storing up too much treasure in this life. If you are looking for a place to dump off some of that treasure, I have news for you. I first went to China in 2014 as a junior in college. I landed in Beijing without knowing really anything about the language, the culture, the history of the people, or the place I was about to spend my next 6 months. I was just there on a scholarship to do a study on Catholic funerals. Now, depending on your familiarity with Asian Christianity, you might be surprised to know that Catholicism has very deep roots in China. We can trace Christianity's presence to about the 8th century, and it's been continuously present there since the missionaries of the 16th century showed up. I arrived in Beijing at a time when my own faith had started to fade. What once burned bright with the light of Christ, my connection to God had gone cold. I had a great youth group in high school, been involved in some campus ministry at Oriole Chicago, where I went to school, but I found myself sort of numb, going through the motions, filled with some doubts. Maybe that's something you can relate to. But then I started to meet some Catholics in China. Now, some background. There are roughly 12 million Catholics in China, which is no small objective number, but in a country of 1.3 billion people, can feel quite small sometimes. The Catholic Church in China has faced some turbulent times in the last century. It's gone through periods of persecution, acceptance, and something in between those two things. I've spent a fair amount of time reporting on Catholics in China through my job in America, and they all speak fondly of the martyrs of the last 50 years, who've passed on their faith to them through much suffering. They know what it means to suffer for the gospel of Jesus. And because of that, their faith is on fire. Today, if the Catholic Church in China isn't, if it's not persecuted, it's certainly suffering. Catholicism is officially one of the 5 approved religions recognized by the Chinese Communist Party. One common misconception, and this is one of the first questions I always get asked, is that people often think that there are 2 Catholic churches in China. One, Communist Catholic Church, that is worshiping Xi Jinping. The other, that is underground and loyal to Pope Francis and the Vatican. That is false, and that is a gross caricature of what happens on the ground. There is one Catholic Church in China. There are some churches that are registered with the government, some that are unregistered and sort of practice in more secret, but no one is more or less Catholic than the other. And in fact, all 3 last popes, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis have made it very clear that there is one Catholic Church in China. And Francis has reached out to Chinese leaders in fraternal charity ever since becoming pope, and recently reached an agreement with Chinese authorities that allows them to work together to appoint bishops. But it is very true that the Catholic Church in China is in great need. Currently, the Chinese government has launched a new initiative to limit all outside influence of religion, the practice of religion in China, and to sort of get people to conform to the Chinese way of doing things. Priests operate throughout the country under intense supervision, and even in our globalized world, getting information about the church in and out of China remains extremely difficult. This is the context that the U.S.-China Catholic Association, on whose board I serve, this is the context in which we operate. We provide the American public with balanced information concerning the circumstances in China, and we help support the church there on the ground. We sponsor a quarterly newsletter, we have a website, and we host lectures around the country, keeping Catholics informed on what's going on. We host a biennial conference where we bring together experts, both Chinese and American, Chinese priests and bishops, American priests and bishops, lay leaders, sisters. We all come together to talk about the different challenges that our respective churches are facing. We also serve as a year-round network to respond to the needs of the Church of China. Our executive director, and is a Jesuit priest, Father Michael Agliardo. He's taught in Chinese seminaries and spent his life serving the people of China, and has really earned the trust of both Chinese church leaders and lay people, and also government officials. And so he's in a unique position to build bridges between those communities and our community. Members of our board also sponsor Chinese priests and sisters to come study, do graduate study here in the United States, so they're able to meet American Catholics, and often on their way back to China, they will stop in Rome and get to meet with the Pope and see the Vatican. And also, we collaborate with a lot of other organizations. There's a lot of people helping the church in China. So we're working with several organizations to develop lay ministerial training, outreach to Chinese studying here in the United States, and also translate key religious and devotional texts that right now a lot of people do not have access to. And we do all of this with the whopping staff of one. Our executive director, Father Agliardo, works 80 hours a week for the church in China. And we want to do more, and we can't without more staff. That's the hard truth. We want to do more of what we already do, and we want to do it better. I mentioned earlier that I started to meet Catholics in China at a time when my own faith was struggling. Their zeal and fire for the gospel of Jesus inspired me to renew my commitment to Jesus and the church in the most profound way. And while it is important that the church in China stays connected to the church here, it's also essential that we in this church are paying attention to what happens around the world and in China. They can and will, if we listen to them, set a fire in our own hearts and our own churches. For as Paul reminds us in today's second reading, in this church, there is not Greek and Jew, American and Chinese, but one in Jesus Christ. I will be in the back after church if you have any questions about China or craft beer. And again, the second collection is for the U.S.-China Catholic Association. And if you don't have money today, that's quite all right. We have a website, uscatholicchina.org. It's on your parish's website and in the weekly email that you got this week. Thank you so much. 谢谢, and have a great Sunday.